Walt Dibtula Road Rage, we are back. Okay, this is not how you want to start your college football season right here. This little story, Ramona, listen to this. So, new TCU safety, Jacob Fields, who was a transfer, who was going to be a starter. Good player, set to start at safety for TCU. He beat the living crap out of, allegedly, beat the living crap out of wide receiver Dozie Okubana. I can't say his name. And I know it. Izukama, there you go. Who is set to play for TCU. Who's going to be a contributing player. So Fields beat the crap out of him. And he, the receiver, remains hospitalized. The safety has been kicked off the team. That is not how you want to start a college football season. So maybe North Carolina has some hope after all. That little North Carolina TCU thing, that's shaping up as a thing of beauty over in Ireland.
Really? They probably won't even let them go.
I mean... What an awful thing to happen. Again, this is he's a new transfer. Fields is a new transfer.
Did they kick him off?
Yeah, he's been
missed that part.
Yeah, he's been kicked off.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's been kicked off the team, but he was a new transfer set to start and against a and beat the crap out of a
and put him in the hospital?
Yeah. Yes. Dozie is still hospitalized. And
it's terrible.
So obviously beaten pretty badly. I mean, if you know, you're still hospitalized, you've been beaten pretty badly, allegedly. This is not a good story. It's awful. Absolutely awful.
Terrible story.
Teammates right before the season begins. Are you kidding? I mean, do you have no common sense whatsoever? I mean, I have no idea what this was about, but do you have no common sense whatsoever? No shutoff switch, no way. Man, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about shutoff switches. Robert in Georgia. Robert. Oh, yeah. How are you, Robert?
No, I'm doing fine, Walt. Every time I hear something like this, I think about Bill Romanowski.
Yeah.
Being a Raiders fan. I mean, you don't have any self-control. I mean, do you get so bent out of shape that you just lose all self-control and forget where you are, who you're getting into it with, that it's your teammate? I guess. I mean,
and your season's about to start in Ireland. I mean, it should be like the time of your life, you know. And look, I get boys will be boys element. I get fights. I get all that stuff. What this sounds more serious than that. I mean, this dude is still hospitalized, according to these reports.
Yeah. How did it get to the point where the dude ended up in the hospital?
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Romanowski, I think, hit the guy with his helmet or something.
Right, where were the other teammates? You know,
that's the point I was getting at.
Right.
Where was all the teammates, the friends? Where did this happen at practice, after practice, before practice? I mean, was there nobody there to get him off of him?
Yeah, it says it's a locker room assault. So, you know, you would think that there would be other players there and that somebody would have intervened and separated them or something. That's about as bad a story right before the start of a college football season as I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. Before I get to why I called, and the reason I called is I want to talk some college football defenses. You brought it up yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I like John's list. I really do. Here's my thing, and I think that this is getting ready to be set up for a lot of us to either be happy or a lot of us to be mad, is how many spots in the playoffs are they going to give Big 12 and ACC? Because there's going to be some good deserving teams in the Big 12 like BYU and Texas Tech.
I think there's a legitimate chance the Big 12 is getting two with those two teams. I think the thing sets up for that possibility. Now, also, they're going to wind up playing each other. They could well wind up playing each other in the championship game. Someone else would suffer an additional loss. That might open the door for somebody else to get in. You know, do you wind up comparing a two-loss Big 12 team to a three-loss SEC team? And then do the powers that be just grant the SEC three-loss team that position?
I hope no three-loss team gets in, but you know darn well that no Big 12 or ACC team stands a chance against a two-loss SEC team.
Yeah.
They just don't stand a chance, no matter what their records are, who they've played, how they've looked, doing what they've done, getting to 10 wins. They're not going to stand a chance against the SEC team, so which is completely unfair.
Well, again, I'm not sure they – we'll see if they stand a chance. We'll see if a second team from the Big 12 stands a chance against a chosen three-loss SEC team. Because, again
– I think it would have to be Alabama again, and I'm not sure they
would
go down
the road. I don't know. Realize, Robert, we have just witnessed a massive, massive propaganda campaign – on the part of the SEC in union with ESPN to support and promote and promote the notion that the SEC plays these ridiculously tough schedules. And then you heard the actual lobbying about three-loss teams from the coaches, from the minions, as they during SEC Media Day. So they certainly have worked diligently to lay the foundation for what they are fully expecting to be three-loss football teams in the conversation. That's what they've done.
Yeah. Well, the only hope that I have is that it just seemed like there was a lot more people calling out the absurdities of their case this year in the media than maybe ever before. So I'm thinking people are fed up with, just like you and I, are fed up with this SEC propaganda every year, and they're starting to call them out as, you know, how ridiculous it is.
So, I hope so.
Hopefully. Yeah, me and you both. As far as defenses are concerned, let's start with the ACC. I know Miami lost some big pieces, but they still got Corey Heatherman. I think a very respectable defensive coordinator as far as I'm concerned. He's very aggressive. I think Miami's probably going to have a really good defense. I think Louisville's probably going to have a good defense. I'm going to tell you somebody else who's going to probably have a good defense. Now, I don't know what it's going to get them, and that's Virginia. John Rudzinski, he is an excellent defensive coordinator. Look, he came from Air Force a couple of years ago.
Robert, here's the thing. I didn't hear a single mention of Clemson. Clemson better have a good defense or
– Listen, Clemson's going to have an if defense.
Okay.
They got the if defense. If they don't have any more injuries, if somebody steps in besides Sammy Brown at linebacker, if they can get some pressure on the passer, if the secondary is shored up, if they've learned how to tackle. You know, there's a lot of ifs for Clemson. That's why you don't hear me talking about Clemson. Now, nationally, people are saying Clemson's probably going to have a good defense. Again, they got an if defense in my mind, so we'll see. I don't know what you think.
I think there's a lot of if to go around. I think that the whole country is filled with if. So I'm not sure Clemson's unique in that regard. I think year two of Tom Allen has generally been pretty good. Clemson certainly upgraded the secondary, at least on paper, in a fairly, I think, dramatic way. I think that the caliber of athletes on the back end is now significantly better. You know, I think with Hampton and Elliot Washington and Myrick and Carter, I think there's been a massive upgrade there. And again, Hampton is going to be in the running, I think, to be the first corner taken in the draft. So I think there's a reason to believe that. I think the defensive end play is going to be better, certainly. I don't think it's a high bar to clear because Parker mailed in last season, in my estimation. So, you know, and I'm not afraid to say these things.
Yeah, I still got a little of that nasty taste in my mouth at how many players gave little effort.
No, I get it.
I'm a little down on Clemson's defense.
But in terms of great defenses, I don't think any of those defenses you just mentioned are going to be great unless it's Miami.
Oh, no. I haven't got to the national. I'm just saying that was for the ACC.
Okay.
Nationally, when you start talking about the great defenses, Oklahoma's going to have probably a very good defense.
Yes, I think Oklahoma.
Indiana's going to, even though Indiana lost some players, if you want to comment, go ahead on Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma, and to my way of thinking, heading into the year, is probably the best defense in America. I would probably rank them number one heading into the year. If I'm looking at the national picture, that's where I'm starting. And then I think Oregon is going to be really good defensively. I think Oregon's front seven is going to be on a par with anybody, maybe better. Ohio State has athletes, and they brought in a bunch of guys to fill their weak spots. But I'm still a little concerned about the caliber of players they lost off that defense, because they lost two of the biggest freaks in college football history at the linebacker level. You lost one of the great all-time safeties in Caleb Downs, and you lost their best run-stuffing defensive tackle, who was actually the best run-stuffer in America. So to me, they lost a lot of strength up the middle. Now, I think they've done a pretty good job replacing it, but I'm not sure that doing a pretty good job replacing it makes up for having historically significant players.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the number two team in my mind probably at the end of the year, and this goes right along with their offense and their schedule, but it's Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to have a
pretty good defense. Yeah, I buy the Notre Dame defense. I think that you also have a brilliant head coach who's a defensive genius. I buy the Notre Dame defense. I think that Texas's defense is going to be vastly improved.
Walt, is Will Muschamp the old Will Muschamp, or is he Kevin Steele? I'm not buying Texas.
Well, I think Texas has players. I care more about players than coaches, with rare exception. They probably have the best edge guy in America.
They do have some good defensive linemen. I don't know. Can they put it all together? They couldn't stop the pass last year. Have they got that fixed?
I think they were throwing it on them last year. Yeah, I think they have. I think Texas. I think people are sleeping on Texas. I'm not sure why. I think they've gotten better consistently under Sarkisian, and this is clearly going to be the best team they've had. Honestly, Texas' problem wasn't defense last year; it was offense. That was their problem. If your offense never moves the ball, then you're leaving your defense on the field, and you're putting your defense in bad position. And I just think Texas is going to be better in all phases of football this year. I think Texas is a legitimate contender to win the national championship. In fact, I think if an SEC team is going to win the national title, I think it's going to be Texas.
I got three more teams you can talk about, Walt, after I get off. I think Georgia's going to have a good defense. Their secondary is going to be great.
Yeah, I buy that.
I think Indiana, even though they lost some key players, I think their defense is going to be good.
Yeah, I buy that, too. I am a little worried about the loss of D'Angelo Pons, who I think was practically speaking the best cornerback in America last year.
And then lastly, I think LSU is going to be a top national defense because Blake Baker, that dude is a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
Walt, I appreciate it.
He can coach. There's no question about that. And they have players, so it's just an issue of, you know, when. But that linebacker core at LSU, if they're healthy, that's an elite core of guys. I'm sort of buying that. I'm sort of buying that in the discussion of the great defenses around the country. I don't know about specific order of rank. I go into the season thinking that the best defense in America is Oklahoma. I'll say this going back to Miami. Now, you do have to replace those two defensive ends, and they've done that. You know, Wilson is a guy who might lead the ACC in sacks. Can he hold up against the run? We'll see about that part of it. But I will say this. I'm not sure there's a team in the country that has two better, more proven defensive tackles than Miami. I do not think you can line up and run the ball up the gut against Miami. I think that's a brick wall in the middle of that Miami Hurricane defense. All right, Darren, I'm coming right to you. I know what Darren wants to talk about. He wants to talk a little Air Force football. So we will do that when we get back.
What's going on, everybody? Sam Jones here. I'm excited to serve as the lead commentator for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingalls Markets again this season. As per our tradition.
So, Izukama, who wears number zero, appeared in five games. He was the victim. And the one who is still hospitalized. I don't know. You know.
So he came out and apologized?
Well, it sounds sort of like that. He's saying that, I mean, it quotes him as being remorseful, but also it sounds like he's trying to blame other people for his issues, saying that he felt targeted by teammates. Well, you know, listen, you can only believe so much of this crap. It's not you who wound up in the hospital, it's your teammate. So if anyone was targeted, apparently it was your teammate by you, allegedly. I don't know. Everyone's sorry afterwards.
Yeah, and you know what? If they just got in a regular fight, you know, like back and forth fight, he put this guy in the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole different level.
Well, yeah, it can be. I mean, it sounds...
I mean, if he punched him, you know, broke his nose or whatever.
Well, look,
or they got into it together. That's one thing. You put this guy in the hospital, so that means you just kept on and on.
Maybe. You know, again, what you're saying is logical, okay? But we should add that, you know, the right hit delivered to the right place can cause massive damage, even death. You know,
but
so
wouldn't they have said that if it was something like that?
I don't know. Maybe no one actually knows, you know, what exactly took place at this point. Maybe there's still question marks on it. I don't know. It's regardless, it's a mess right before the start of a season. No question about that. All right. It's Darren and Jason in Columbia right now. So we're going Air Force and then Jason, Columbia. Darren, good to have you. Darren, appreciate you getting in as always.
So you knew what I was going to talk about, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, I have to because nobody else does.
Right, right. I get it. I get it, Darren. Now, you know, I obviously I'm a genius, but it didn't take a genius to figure this one out.
That's right. It's very simple,
right,
Walt.
Right.
But first, I want to ask you a different question.
Yeah.
And many people are wanting to know if you're going to be there next Thursday at the kickoff classic thing.
Oh, well, you know, we'll see what that develops, and that's the plan. I've got to be here first, so that's what it comes down to. But
okay,
go ahead.
Okay. I know a lot of people commented it's just not the same unless you're there.
Well, I appreciate it, Darren.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I've been reading some stuff on the Air Force. I did not know, according to what I read, they were number one in the nation last year in yards per completion.
Well,
I was like, what?
Well, look, the reason I like Air Force is I like Sarza, the quarterback. I think he is a dual threat, a talented dual threat, and he's the reason that I'm high on Air Force. Now, it's been a couple down years for Troy Calhoun, who's been a tremendous coach, but I think this is the year the Air Force bounces back. I think they're going to be a 9-win type team, and I think they have a chance to win the Commander in Chief's trophy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was expecting at least 8-4 this year, but and I read in 2017 and 18 they had two losing seasons in a row, and they bounced back with 11-2 in 19. And Calhoun's never had three losing seasons in a row.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I expect
a rebound. Yep.
Yeah, I do like that dual threat quarterback. He's pretty talented.
Yep. I think he's the big reason for the bounce back. I think he puts up a big time season.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you know, talking about the Air Force, I also wanted to get your perspective on. You know, what do you think the Army and the Navy teams are going to do also? And I'll let
yeah.
you speak on that.
Yeah, thank you, Darren. Appreciate the call as always. Well, again, I think both of them are going to be good. I think it's going to be a really competitive year for the service academies. I expect all of them to be good. I think Navy challenges for the conference title. I think Army's going to be really good. And like I said, I think this is the year the Air Force comes back. So I think it's going to be a highly competitive year. For the service academies all the way across the board. Jason in Columbia. Jason, how are you, Jason?
Well, I was better before I heard certain segments on your show today, but I did tell Ramona the most disturbing thing I heard on your show so far was Garnett and Gold's call. I mean, man, let's start off with, did he say they had an opening date at a sushi place?
He did. Yeah, see, I'm already tapped out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my man, was there no red meat?
Right.
Some pasta available?
Right, exactly.
I mean,
little Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
something.
You got to set the tone.
Right.
You know, I mean, you think the woman across the table is going to respect the sushi eater or the guy with the filet mignon?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I mean, I don't get that. And then to ditch her, I mean, first of all, listen, Walt, when I was a student at Clemson, I used to drive back to Columbia. I mean, it's undefeated. I mean, I had girlfriends that were students at Carolina.
Right.
So if I got to go to the Carolina dorms, I mean, whatever. I mean, come on, man. Garnet
exactly.
And Gold, man.
And
we're
that doesn't exactly fit the category of petty. That's like a first degree crime. That does not fit petty. You know, idea of this conversation earlier that Ben and Kwok had was, you know, what petty thing, you know, have you done against your rival? That's not petty.
I'm going to just guess. I'm going to go out on a wild.
I bet you her father didn't find that petty.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess. I mean, Garnett Gold and let us know, but I'm going to assume she didn't look like Salma Hayek in her prime because there's no way any male. I don't care, dude.
Maybe that's the real problem.
Football.
Maybe that's the real problem.
Maybe Garnett Gold, I think he was fishing for an excuse there. Maybe he got catfished on this first date deal.
Maybe.
And,
maybe
looking for any way out.
Maybe her name was Monique Love.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, most of us college football fans, I mean, if you got a hot girl across the table and she drops Steve Spurrier on the first date, you're like, man, that's jackpot.
Right, exactly. Right.
You know, that's not let me go to the bathroom and then ditch her.
Yeah.
Man, that's cold, Garnett and Gold. But anyway, no, that was a funny call from him.
Yeah, there are rules to this, okay? And there are some things that just supersede other things, like whether she's your rival or not. You know, if she's hot, the rival thing's over. You can forget that. That doesn't count anymore.
Yeah, well, the only deal breaker for me when I was younger was if a woman smoked cigarettes. I just, like, and, you know, most of the time you can tell that on the front end.
Yeah,
but
if she's coughing up a lung, yeah.
Yeah, that was just a deal breaker. Yeah. So, I mean, I one time I picked a girl up in Clemson, and we were leaving her apartment, and one of her apartment, like, mates was like, oh, hey, do you want your cigarettes? And I was like, what? And I she said, yes. And I was like, oh, my God. And so that was a one and only date. So anyway, that was just a total deal.
But you didn't leave her somewhere, right?
No, I did not. We went to the movie.
Yeah, I mean,
you, restaurant,
you brought her
then,
back home.
Now, in all honesty, if we had learned at the start of today, Ramona, that one of our listeners, any one of our listeners, was going to dump a woman on a blind date because she turned out to be a rival fan base, every single person listening would have picked Jason as the one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fair. That's fair. But no, I
and then
no,
Paul would have been
man.
Next. We can assemble a list of who it would have been.
Though,
yeah,
I did lay down the law, Walt. I said, nah, no smoking in my car.
Yeah.
When, you know, I had the 1995 GMC Jimmy.
Oh,
those
oh, yeah. GMC Jimmy.
So
yeah.
You were not smoking in the Jimmy.
Right, right.
But anyway.
You know, because honestly, that stuff doesn't go away. It lingers.
No,
it
you
gets,
can never
it,
get it out.
It gets in the seats, and then you smell it for like weeks. You got to go get one of those ozone machines. I had to do that, Jason. I had to do that. Let me tell you this little story. You have something else you want to say? I'll tell the story afterward.
No. I was going to ask you. You brought up Muschamp. Robert did. So I actually saw this comparison somewhere, and I just wanted to see what you thought about it. someone was saying, okay, what's the difference between Muschamp and Chad Morris? They both bombed out in the SEC as head coaches. Both of them haven't called plays in multiple years. But a lot of Texas fans are treating Muschamp like he's the hidden ingredient that's going to make everything click for
him.
Yeah,
but Jason, honestly, that's what every Clemson
reaction at Clemson.
But it's what every Clemson fan has switched to now.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, isn't it kind of a funny comparison? I mean, there's some definite similarities there.
I guess. I mean, I honestly, I think they're just part of the unknowns of this season of college football, which I think is filled with unknowns. We're going to start to get answers in some of these first games. I mean, it's not going to take long to come up with some answers when Texas plays Ohio State. It's not going to take long when Clemson plays LSU right out of the gate to determine some of these things. I mean, we're going to find out some answers in game one. Not all the answers, but we're going to find out some legitimate answers. I mean, I have thought about this a little bit. I can't even imagine what the conversations are going to be here on the Monday after Clemson LSU. I could see it going so many
especially
different.
Especially if we get a Denson trick play that blows up.
That's right. That's right. A Denson, an implosion on a Denson trick play. Yeah, that'll do it.
Oh, man, I don't envy you. I didn't envy you last year after Labor Day, and I don't know, I got some bad vibes after this one, too. We'll see.
Thank you, Jason. Good talking to you, as always. Lumbee, I'll get to you on the other side. And, Ramona, I want to tell the ozone machine story, because I have an ozone machine story about, smelling the car, smelling the vehicle. We will get to that. And it has nothing to do with Monique Love. Nothing. Lumbee, I'm coming to you on the other side.
With the Roar app, whenever your Clemson Tigers are playing,
touchdown!
The game is streaming live from anywhere in the world.
Your Tigers.
Your Tigers.
Your flagship station.
Your app.
What?
I don't know. Just an idle thought. Just quickly. So, Ramona, I don't know how long ago this was now, but, I bought this red Jeep. Okay. It had been a show Jeep.
Yes.
It had.
You still have it, right?
Yes, I do. It had way too many bells and whistles on it. But to me, it was too much of a show Jeep and not utilitarian enough. So I knew if I bought it, I was going to have to do some things immediately. Like the wheels needed to be changed. Like mall crawler wheels. I need to be able to use it. Okay. Not just like look at it, but it had, and it had like a lot of show Jeep stuff. Like it had Italian leather interior and stuff, and stuff.
It did.
Yeah. So here's the first thing I do, Ramona. The first thing I do when I get this Jeep is I pick up a chicken dinner. All right.
Yeah.
And not wanting to spill it all over the new Jeep, because it's basically brand new, is I put it on the floor in the back seat, and then I get busy and I forget it. I forget about it.
Yeah.
I forget about it completely, and then I don't drive that Jeep for like 7 days, 8 days.
Oh, boy.
Some amount of days.
Yeah.
And as God is my witness, when I opened that door, oh my God, I thought a body was in Jeep. And Ramona, the full fledged maggot stuff, all of it.
Oh,
all of
that
it.
Leather.
All right. And we just talked about the smell into like the seats. So I'm like,
oh my God!
I'm like,
oh my God!
I'm like Monk now. I might have to throw this old Jeep out.
Yeah,
I'm like, right. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm gonna do. So what I wound up having to do is I bought two. This car dealerships use these ozone machines. You're not really supposed to breathe this stuff, but it does. It's how vehicles get freshened, like from cigarette stuff.
So if they buy a used car and they want to detail
it or whatever. Right. So I bought two big ozone machines off of Amazon, and I ran them like around the clock, and I had to run them for like a week to get the smell out. I finally did, and so thank goodness for those ozone machines. But you know, you can't. So I would just lock the thing up. I'd run the extension cords to it. I'd shut the windows all the way, and then I'd let it air out, because you're not supposed to breathe that crap either. So, but that's what saved it, the ozone machines. So if you're ever in that situation where, you know, you have a dead body in your car and
yeah,
you know,
keep an ozone machine.
Right, you need some ozone machines.
So you can get that evidence
and
gone.
And from some of the shows I've watched, apparently you also need bags of lime.
Oh, yeah.
So depending on how bad whatever it is you're doing is. Yeah. But yeah, the ozone machines. Yeah, for you would-be murderers and dead bodies and, you know.
Have that trunk clean.
Right.
Because they will find it.
Yes, the ozone machines are key, trust me. Lumby and then Michael. Lumby, how are you, Lumby? Good to have you.
Hey, it's great to be back, Walt. Question about Mizzou. I think that maybe the defense on Mizzou may smell like that Jeep. I don't know. We lost everybody. You know, we lost everybody. We got one to the Ravens and one to Miami. But how do you think about Simmons at quarterback? And do you think Hardy, I know he had, he got shot or whatever. Do you think that he can carry it? It's a tough, tough schedule. Loved listening to you. I think I was calling in when Pinkley was the head coach.
That's true.
For That's Mizzou true. And Barry Odom.
Pinkle,
I'm a big
Gary
fan.
Pinkle, yeah.
I don't. Yep. Pinkle. I said Pinkley. Good
yeah,
Greek.
But I know what you meant.
But yeah. Been calling in. You know, I don't know. 8-4, 9-3. Just getting your opinion on Mizzou.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know what you've heard from Detroit yet. I've been kind of out of it, been very busy for the Lions. You know, I'm a Mizzou and Detroit fan, but just wanted to get in for a minute.
Yeah,
love you, Walt.
Thank you, Lumby.
Best show on radio.
Thank you, Lumby. Very kind of you. Well, the Lions have an injury at center. It's going to be an issue, but in terms of Mizzou, I think it all comes down to the health of Hardy. Austin can play. We haven't seen him recently. Obviously, he got beat out at Ole Miss. But he can throw. I mean, he's 6'4". He's lefty. He's an arm talent. I think he'll play pretty well. But Ahmad Hardy is the real key. I mean, and he got shot, and it was quite serious. And so I don't have a way. You know, actually, I've got to check on that and see what's going on with him. There should be some sort of update on him now. Michael, bear with me a second. Let me just look up Ahmad Hardy and see what they're saying. Preseason All-Americans. Mizzou faces a brutal slate. Mentions Austin Simmons. Here we go. Latest update on Ahmad Hardy's recovery. This is from 5 days ago from Eli Drinkwitz. For the most part, Drinkwitz's update is that he has no update. On Saturday, Drinkwitz noted that Hardy is still in the return to football phase of his recovery with 2 weeks remaining until the start of the regular season as expected. He mentioned that he'll have another update for Hardy Saturday the 22nd. And they'll sit down with doctors and further evaluate his progress. This does not sound good. He's still continuing to do rehab. Nothing really to note, Drinkwood said. I misspoke if I said that because it was really a 5-week block. The 22nd, that'll be the first 5 weeks. We'll sit down with doctors, evaluate where he's at. He was out there. He's not playing, right? I mean, that's my interpretation. Drinkwood said during SEC media days that Hardy's medically cleared from the gunshot wound. But obviously still has to ease his way back into SEC shape for the season. How's he going to get in SEC shape? How's he going to get in football shape if he's not playing football?
Yeah, how do you, I mean, he's got to recover from that traumatic experience.
I don't think this sounds good. I don't either. This does not sound to me like Ahmad Hardy's playing football this year. And if he's not, then I think we got a completely different story. Let me get Michael. And by the way, remember I gave out Missouri in the over, and then and it was after that that Hardy got shot, and I said, I don't know what to do with it. But we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Michael, how are you, Michael? Good to have you as always.
I'm doing pretty good. Well, how about you?
Good. Thank you, Michael.
All Well, what do you think about all of the Greenville County schools transitioning all of their natural grass fields to artificial turf?
I think that there are trade-offs with turf, obviously, and increase in injuries as well. So
yes,
that'd be my concern.
That was my fear that too, because if anyone who hasn't played on turf, that turf, it gets very hot. Oh, it could be very hot. The way this week has been hot, and the high school starts tomorrow, it should be a lot of hydration breakups. The heat coming off that turf is something that's not like grass. And I think it's going to be an increase of, lower leg injuries.
Just
playing on that turf, a lot of Achilles, maybe hopefully no Achilles, no ACL. I don't want these kids to hurt them on this turf. I know it's supposed to be faster and all this and that, but a lot of cones to play on turf.
Yep. I'm not in favor of that. I'm just not.
And the upkeep, it's got to be maintained. And it just made me play on grass.
Yep, I agree.
Playing on grass, not artificial turf, but it's going to burn. These guys are here. It's going to burn like crap. A lot of them are injuries. I just hate to see it. It looks good, but it don't feel good. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Michael. I just think that. I think it was meant to be played on grass. I think it's a sport that was meant to be played on grass.
Yeah, man, that's something I've been pondering this for a while, and I've never heard nobody on all the shows mention this. And I thought I would bring it up, with this, all the schools going on turf in the upstate. Will that be more increased? Will you see more increased injuries around the upstate?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you will. I think that's sort of the natural thing that happens with turf when you replace grass. I think you're spot on to have that concern, but we'll see.
All right. Well,
yep. Thank you, Michael. Call. Good talking to you as always. You can get in if you want. Noah is up first. When we return, we are going to talk some degenerate stuff. When we get back as well, some of the win totals we've already given out. So we're going to take a look at some others. So all of it. Yeah. I have
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers.